son of a bitch.
Hello, welcome to a brand new episode of our monthly special show, No Time to Bleed. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with Micah.
Hey.
All right, so it's just the two of us. We decided to get into the studio and talk about a movie so ridiculous that it had to be done on this show. This, of course, is the 1997 American satirical military science fiction action film directed by Paul Verhoeven, Starship Troopers. Yeah. I am proud of the people in our fan group. I gave one hint. I said the lead of this movie has never done anything outside of this, of any substance since this movie, and that I often referred to him as being off-puttingly handsome in real life. And someone's like, oh my God, you're doing Starship Troopers. like immediately. You are correct. Yes, because I met Casper Van Dien at Comic-Con, and somewhere I have a picture of him. And like, he is. Like, it's slightly off-putting. Like, you look like you're made of like plastic. Like it's kind of shocking.
Well, that chin is very special.
He's got like a fucking superhero comic book face.
Yeah. He really does. Yeah.
So, now on, you know, our scale, of course, for these movies are insane because this is No Time to Bleed. So Micah, your thoughts on this movie?
I think, this movie came, always quote unquote joke. That there is a conservative just dying to come out of me.
Yeah.
And this is one of the reasons why, this movie.
Yeah.
This movie is all about like authoritarianism and at 17 I'm like, yeah.
I'm ready to join up.
I'm ready to join up. I'm ready to kill these fucking bugs, man. And you know, there's a lot of beautiful people, and they get the whole guns and shoot aliens, and
right.
And I'm like, yeah, this feels right to me. You know what I mean?
It's funny that Paul Verhoeven keeps choosing these movies, these science fiction movies, or maybe they choose him, that have these like larger, like these clearly like obvious messages that are about how fucked up society is, or this like sort of weird conservative wet dream of what science fiction is. Cause he's clearly poking fun of it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's no surprise because this book, the book that the movie is based on is incredibly right wing.
Yeah. I had never. So, is there a book called Starship Troopers?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because it also says it was originally from an unrelated script called Bug Hunt at Outpost 9.
Yeah, they kind of took things from the book and put them into
that universe.
Yeah, into that script.
Okay.
And it got to the point where Michael Ironside, who's in the movie. He was on like Adam Carolla or something like that, or Howard Stern, or one of those shows. And they were asking him about it, and he was like, yeah, I don't understand why you, Paul, who grew up in Nazi-occupied Netherlands, why are you doing this right-wing fascist movie? And Paul Verhoeven was like, if I tell the world that a right-wing fascist way of doing things doesn't work, no one will listen to me. So I'm just going to make the perfect fascist world where everyone is beautiful, everything is shiny, everything has big guns and fancy ships, but all it's good for is killing fucking bugs. Like,
I mean, he's throwing it right in your face.
Right, and that's exactly what he's doing, man.
That's awesome.
And, you know, when people think satire, people confuse satire with, like,
comedy.
Comedy.
Right.
And that's not this.
No, this is very much in line with RoboCop, which is also a Paul Verhoeven movie.
Yeah, yeah. But this movie's great, man. Like,
I own this on VHS.
This movie is quintessential 90s, and it was a joy to sit through again.
Look, I have to tell you, I thought this movie held up pretty well, actually. Like,
yeah.
For what, like, especially the special effects, I thought were actually surprised. I'm like, damn, like, this surprisingly looks good. Because movies, like, it doesn't take long for special effects to look ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Because we move so fast. But I mean, in 1997, this had a budget of $105 million. That's pretty high in 97.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Marvel movie, you know, in comparison to, you know, inflation and things like that at the time. And for it to be given to a movie like this is crazy. So what is your score for this?
I give it five fake pseudo Nazis out of five. This
All right.
is a great movie, man.
I think I give it I'm gonna give it 10 You Don't Wanna Live Forevers. Because like this movie, like, it is ridiculous on a level that I cannot stress. By the way, if you've never seen Starship Troopers, one, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Pause and go watch it.
Yeah, and it's on Netflix right now. Netflix streaming. So go and enjoy it. It's 2 hours of fucking mayhem. Like, it literally, if you like Total Recall or... I can't imagine no one has seen this movie. But, like, if you like Total Recall, RoboCop, anything in that world, you'll love this movie. And also, if you love violence, because there is a shit ton of it.
Look, this movie's got violence, it's got nudity, it's got guns, it's got aliens, it's got it all.
It has everything you're looking for. Like, this is a perfect Saturday movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is a good, like, hey, there's nothing else on TV. Oh, shit, Starship Troopers is on Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch it.
It's got Neil Patrick Harris, for God's sakes.
Who plays a space Nazi? I mean, he even looks like one. Like, he really does. So, I mean, even the uniforms are very, very Nazi-esque.
Oh, yeah.
Like, come on.
Like, it's not, like, they're not hiding it. You know
No,
what I mean?
It's right in your face, which is what makes the movie so good. Yeah, so, obviously, we love the movie, so definitely go check it out. It's on Netflix right now if you haven't seen it. And
now,
if you have, go watch it again.
Now, how would you feel if the role of Johnny Rico was played by Mark Wahlberg?
No.
Mark Wahlberg turned down the role.
Well, I guess it was better for his career. I mean, Casper Van Dien, you know, suffered under the brutality of this film in more than one way. Yeah, no, I don't see it. I think that Johnny Rico being played by Casper Van Dien, who's like a legit, like a incredibly good looking person, like, it works because he's supposed to be this rich kid. And not supposed to have been, like, looking a little, like, rough and ready for this environment. He's supposed to look clean and everything else. And then he's thrown into this hellish environment. And you watch his characters, like, slowly turn into this grizzled, horrible veteran, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, I think he actually works better. I don't understand why Casper Van Dien didn't make it bigger.
Yeah, he...
Like, he's not bad in this movie at all.
He's got, like, a 90s, like, Captain America, if it was played for, you know, played serious type of vibe to him. Like, he looks like...
Oh, he could have been, if the Marvel Universe was starting in the 90s, he could have been Captain America.
Oh,
without
yeah.
a doubt.
He looks like Hitler's prototype. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he fucking does. He really fucking does. Like, oh shit, there goes Steve Rogers. What the fuck is he up to? Yeah,
What he doesn't look like is a high school student.
Like,
that guy's 30 years old in this movie playing.
Was he
30? I think it was either 29 or 30.
Yeah, I'm like, everyone in that classroom is old as shit. Yeah, like, get out of here. Now, they made at least three Starship Trooper movies.
Wow.
He was in three of them.
Jesus. Really?
Yeah. He was in, or maybe he was in two. He was in two of them. He wasn't in Starship Troopers 2. He was in the first one and the third one, which was Starship Troopers 3 Marauder, which I didn't see.
Did you see Starship Troopers 2?
I saw 20 minutes of it and I turned it the fuck off.
I mean, as soon as it said straight to DVD, I can't be bothered.
The sad thing is that one all took, so you've never seen any parts of the second one? It all takes place in one building. That's how you know it's bad. Because it doesn't have the budget. They get to an outpost and then they get stuck there and they're like, oh no. And I was like, oh no is right. I'm not watching this. Like, nice try, guys. I don't think so. I've seen enough bad movies. If it takes place, generally, if a movie, especially a sequel with a much lower budget, takes place in one room, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be bad. This is not, you know, this is not a Quentin Tarantino film. So the movie starts out, and again, this is directed by Paul Verhoeven, who did RoboCop. So there's a lot of familiar elements, right? And
it looks like a Paul Verhoeven movie from the 90s. Like there's something about it where he has a visual style and it looks like Paul Verhoeven.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And look, that's not a bad thing.
That's like, not a knock. It just
is.
It's funny. It's funny, you know, like when you see like comic book artists, like you immediately know, this
that's a John Romita Jr.
Right. This character is very boxy and the bam, that's John Romita Jr.
Right.
Or, you know, this character looks like a traced porn star. Oh, that's Greg Land.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And Paul Verhoeven, his movies have a certain look to them.
He's the
of this era.
He's the positive Greg Land of the 1990s,
yeah.
If you will. I love all of his movies, man. Like I'm a huge fan of like the crazy ultraviolence.
You're a huge fan of Showgirls, are you?
Okay, that's let's just move on. I forgot he directed that. Dear God, he should also forget that he directed it. The movie opens up with these like hilarious ads, not unlike RoboCop, basically pushing the notion of like join the mobile infantry, join the service, the federal service. Basically,
they're propaganda.
And, yeah, they're propaganda. It's like, hey, if you join the army, basically the space army, then you can gain citizenship to being, I guess, a citizen of Earth or a citizen of whatever country. So this is in the future where I guess being born in a certain part of the world doesn't matter. That's irrelevant.
Right.
So because they're having this war, they want to have this propaganda, which I guess goes to like immigration and other like conservative wet dreams.
Yeah.
You know, so after the ad, it goes to like this reporter and he's on this bug planet of Klindathu and it's like he's like right in the middle of it and there's the giant arachnids and like all this shit is going on, people are being murdered, the reporter gets ripped in half. I mean, again, we are like within 2 minutes of the movie starting and then it shows some people being attacked and everything else, and then it sort of fades and it stops and says 1 year earlier. So it just gives you a brief look at the level of violence that you're going to get accustomed to in the future.
Good Lord.
So it cuts back a year previously to basically like a political science class with Johnny Rico. And he's like drawing a picture of him and his girlfriend on these, you know, space age iPads in the future. And they're being taught a class. He's in class with his girlfriend, Carmen, and his friend Diz, which that sort of signals this like weird love triangle between kind of the three of them.
That was a very awkward love triangle.
It really was.
That movie.
It was Diz, this the curly haired woman, basically wanting to bang Johnny Rico, and Carmen also wanting to bang Johnny Rico, but like being a little goody good about it.
Yeah, like we were talking about this with a friend of ours. It's like you never know, like there's a woman throwing it at you, but you don't necessarily go after that because you're so used to chasing the other.
Right. Exactly.
You know, this was a very odd love triangle.
Yeah. But their teacher is Michael Ironside.
Fucking Sam Fisher, man.
He's got one of the coolest voices of all time. Also, if you've never seen Scanners, do yourself a favor. Also an amazing film.
There's another guy with a cool voice in this movie.
Oh, later on?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, a very famous voice actor in a lot of ways. So the reason, like, the biggest part of this scene to me is the unabashed conservatism in this movie. And they're talking about what it takes to be a citizen in this universe. So let me play that clip and then we'll come back.
My mother always said violence never solves anything.
Really? I wonder what the city fathers of Hiroshima would say about that. You.
They probably wouldn't say anything. Hiroshima was destroyed.
Correct. Naked force has resolved more issues throughout history than any other factor. The contrary opinion, that violence never solves anything, is wishful thinking at its worst. People who forget that always pay. Rico, what's the moral difference, if any, between a civilian and a citizen?
A citizen accepts personal responsibility for the safety of the body politic, defending it with his life. A civilian does not.
The exact words of the text. But do you understand it? Do you believe it?
I don't know.
This movie is a conservative's wet fucking dream. It is amazing. Like, really watching this now, you're just like, holy shit, are you kidding? Who talks like that? This is like an Ayn Rand book. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It is amazing.
Like, what's the solution to the world problems? Naked violence.
Yeah, I mean,
unabashed, unequivocal, three-letter word, violence.
Three-syllable word,
violence.
Well, I mean, but the funny thing is, and I should have clipped this a little earlier, he even says, like, what is voting? And one guy in the class is like, well, it's a gift for fighting for citizenship. And he's like, wrong. Voting is basically pressure or, like, pushing your views, which is a type of violence. Violence works. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, they even see voting as a violent act, which is just funny. But yeah, they're absolutely nuts. Like, they're just funny. So the class ends, and basically Michael Ironside's character, his name is Ratchek, is basically like, look, you need to serve if you want to be a productive member of society. Again, a very conservative viewpoint. Like, it's so insane. It's absolutely nuts. And so they're like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. They're like, they're in high school, by the way. 30-year-old fucking Casper Van Dien. Fucking Denise Richards looks like she's getting ready to marry Charlie Sheen in the next scene. Like, they're old as shit. It's hilarious. And so they're like, all right, we're going to, they leave class. And so they go, they have this thing outside of their school or, like, publicly in their school. Clearly it's like they're in Buenos Aires, right? Which is funny because it's only white people around.
Yeah. this is a bunch of blonde-haired, blue-eyed white people in Buenos Aires.
I mean, think about this. This is something I haven't thought about until right now. Buenos Aires, which is where some of the Nazis escaped to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that fucking funny? This movie is slightly genius.
Oh, shit. To be educated and then watch this movie?
That's kind of...
Because, yeah, when you're 17...
This is better than being high. Like, this is awesome. Like, right. I'm doubly enjoying this movie.
Like, when you're 17, you're just seeing, you know, a bunch of beautiful people fighting bugs, right?
Right.
Like, you know, but you don't pay attention to that stuff. And then, you know, you got a little bit of knowledge behind you.
It's like, oh, where the Nazis escaped. So, because what year does this movie take place? It's like, I wish I knew. It's the 23rd century. So the Nazis have been there. Like, actually, if you look at it from that perspective, the Nazis would have been there for arguably almost 300 years, right?
They
would have been there for 3,000 years. Right? The 21st century, not...
Yeah, not 300 years into the future.
Yeah, 3,000 years into the future. So it would have been possibly taken... If the Nazis had won or escaped, then there would be more blonde-haired, blue-eyed white people there. They would be the vast majority of the population, probably, because they would have just killed all the natives. and in the future, like, all that matters is violence and military... You know, militarism.
Yeah.
God damn it, this movie is fucking genius. So, back at Nazi High, they have this... fucking might as well be. So, they have this giant board that you can just type in your name, and it comes up with your score in a class. It's like, oh, this is what you got in a math final. But it broadcasts it on a massive board in front of everyone. That's all fine and good if you got a 97 Carmen did. But then Johnny Rico does it, and he gets a 35. And then, of course, Carl, played by Neil Patrick Harris, his friend, who's a genius, is like, that's funny. You got a 35. I'm going to put it big on the board so everyone laughs at you. because I'm a prick.
They're going to shame you into doing well because that's what a Nazi would do, right? Like,
yeah,
he would.
You're the weak one.
Right. You're the weak one. And that's how you get better, or you die.
Which brings me to one of the greatest lines in the movie. I'll keep you around until you die or I find someone better. This movie is fucking genius. Holy shit.
Oh, I love
it. Holy shit. This is amazing. I was going to say something. I'll wait. So it's Carl, Carmen, and Johnny Rico and Diz. They're basically the four friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, oh, you know, tonight's going to be great after the public shame, the dumb one. They're like, oh, tonight's going to be really great. We're going to, you know, we're going to have the big game. It's going to be like basically a football game. But before that, they have a science class where they have to dissect a giant bug. And that, look, that bug is gross. Like, this shit is disgusting.
Yeah, all those bugs in this movie look really, really gross.
The design is good.
Oh, yeah.
The design is good. By the way,
I like the practical effects. Like, practical effects will always trump
CGI.
It just will. Those things look awesome. And that was 1997.
Yeah. Now, I will say this, which is interesting. This movie was actually nominated for an Academy Award, if you can fucking believe that. Starship Troopers was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Visual Effects. It did not win, but it was, in fact, nominated.
Wow.
So, suck on that, other No Time to Bleed movies that don't have an Oscar nomination. This movie has more Oscar nominations than most black actors.
Oh.
Topical.
God damn it.
This movie, apparently, better recognized than Michael B. Jordan in Creed.
God damn it.
So, they're dissecting this bug, and Johnny is just, like, taking the body parts out, and Denise Richards just fucking hurls. Which, look, I get it. It's disgusting. So then we cut to Neil Patrick Harris's character, Carl, is sitting with Johnny Rico, and he's like, okay, like they're playing this game where there's a card up and he has to guess what the next card coming up is.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed something about the scene which is kind of peculiar. He's sitting across from Neil Patrick Harris and he's like, all right, you know, like really think about this, Johnny. And Johnny says it's the Ace of Spades, and it comes up and it says no match, but it was the Ace of Spades.
Was it?
Yeah.
Huh. I thought it was like a club. Like, I didn't think it was the Ace of Spades.
No. I'm looking at it right now. It's a fucking Ace of Spades.
Wow. Oh yeah, it is. Wow.
So okay. I don't know if that is, if that's a whole thing of,
oh, no. You know what he's doing, right? So the card on the left is the card that he has to guess, and the card on the right is what he said. And those two don't match.
Oh, I see. So he was close, but off, basically.
So what I'm looking at is like a four of diamonds, right?
Yeah.
He had to guess four of diamonds, but he guessed Ace of Spades, and Ace of Spades came up because he said it.
Oh, okay.
And it,
gotcha.
There's no match.
Okay, gotcha. I was like, I was confused. I was like, what the fuck? It's like, okay. All right, that makes sense. Yeah, so Johnny's dumb. Basically, Johnny doesn't have any psychic powers, which some people... Some people in this Nazi future, some people have Nazi powers.
They're called scientists.
Yes. In Nazi Germany, scientists have psychic powers.
Have magic powers.
That's sort of fucked up. So then we also get a moment where Carl controls a ferret by telling him to go bother his mother by implanting an idea in his brain, which is kind of interesting, which comes back later on. But he says basically like, oh, I hope you don't do that to me someday. And he goes, yeah, I can't do human.
Yet.
So, yeah, and he gives a really twisted look into the camera almost. So then then we get a video of the big game. It's basically like futuristic football, which is way more insane. And
it's like XFL.
Yeah, like they're doing front flips and shit.
Yeah.
And it's kind of badass. I'd watch this. It's not bad.
No, you wouldn't, because no one watched the XFL.
I watched a little bit of the XFL, and then I realized this seems ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
The people who watch XFL can name one player.
Oh, he hate me?
That's it. Yeah. That's it. No. You don't remember anything about the XFL. You only remember he hate me.
I remember that they didn't have like a kickoff, right? They had like, you had to.
Yeah, no kicking, because no kicking. Kicking's for pussies.
Yeah, just like
Vince McMahon doesn't like kickers.
Yeah, so he was just like run for touchdowns. I mean, the XFL was fun. Like it was dumb, but it was fun. It was very much the wrestling version of football.
Yep. Exactly.
Hey man, it worked to get people back into football though. I think it did. So one of the guys that Johnny is going up against in this future football game, I don't know his name. I don't remember his character's name either.
Yeah, I can't remember his character's name.
He's like kind of giving Johnny shit, and he ends up jumping out of bounds, and he meets Carmen. He's like chatting with her, and so Johnny sees that, gets a little jealous, and then they have their little rivalry during the game. Of course, in the end, Johnny wins the game by scoring a touchdown, and the Buenos Aires Tigers, I guess, win. They should have been called something more Nazi-esque.
Like the Buenos Aires German Shepherds.
Schadenfreude. So they win the game. Diz is like their quarterback, incidentally, and they're thereby continuing to prove like them working, Diz and Johnny working together all the time.
Yeah.
So then Johnny, skip forward to Johnny telling his parents, like, hey, I've decided to join the military. His dad is like, get the fuck out of my face with this bullshit. You're going on vacation. That's what you're going to do. And he's like, all right, I'm going to do vacation. You're right, Dad. That's the way to do it. And so then, they're at the party and all these people are there. And Diz is like, Diz wants the D bad. Bad, like real bad. So who are you going for here, Diz or Carmen?
I'm going for the one that's going to give it to me. This is for you Final Fantasy VII fans. This is Tifa versus Aerith, and Tifa is like, she's like, let's do this. Like, come on. Like, I'm trying to, she's aggressive and she's just the one that I would want to hang out with.
Whereas she's also, she's just the cooler character.
Right. She's like, she's awesome, right?
I kind of think she's better looking than Denise Richards.
Yeah. Denise Richards looks like a fucking airhead. She always has. She always has. And she always will.
Christmas Jones.
Yeah. Though Christmas only comes once a year. Oh, I'm not looking forward to doing that movie. But yeah, man, like this character is
she is ready to go.
Yeah, man. She's hot, man. And she's what, 29? Because she's 1 year younger than Casper Van Dien.
She's been in high school for 9 years. So she's like, hey, why don't we get together and all of a sudden? I mean, she couldn't be any more forward, by the way.
Right. She was like, hey, let's dance. Like, oh, well, I kind of promised Aerith that I would dance. Like, that bitch ain't here.
She's about to get killed by Sephiroth. just hang on. But yeah, so Cloud Strife stops Barrett because he also only has one arm. Everyone in this movie is a Final Fantasy character. So he's like, Cloud stops Michael Ironside. He's like, hey, I'm thinking about joining. Can I ask your advice? And he's like, no, coming up with making your own choice is, one of the greatest things you can do as a person. So you need to make your own choice. And so then basically that douchebag guy from the football game who's now in pilot school in the military, he's like, yeah, I'm a big deal.
Who might as well be Zach from Final Fantasy. Dude, this is a fucking Final Fantasy VII parallel, man.
It's a Nazi Final Fantasy.
It's Nazi Final Fantasy.
It is.
Because Zach was originally Aerith's boyfriend, and he has dark hair, and Cloud kind of wanted to be like him. Dude, this is fucking Final. This is Nazi authoritarian Final Fantasy VII. You know what? Final Fantasy VII just went up in my book because of this movie.
I don't remember. Wait, Zach was in FF7?
Yeah, he's a character in FF7. He's a character.
I don't remember him at all.
Zach, well, because the game's not very memorable. Zach is. Zach's like memories were kind of implanted in Cloud.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But you don't find that out until
later. You don't find
that
out until later in the
yeah,
game.
Yeah, okay, that's right. That's
you're
right.
Like, who's this black haired Cloud?
Yeah, because that's exactly what he looks like. All right, fair enough. I was like, wait. Okay. Whatever, I'm going to buy that game when they re-release it.
Look, I'm talking all this shit. I'm going to do it too.
Of course. I love that game. It may not be the best one, but until six gets a redo, I won't be playing that either. So they all decide, Carmen, Johnny, and Carl decide that they're all going to sign up. And basically, Johnny Rico only does it for Carmen. Because he's like, oh, I see this dude is trying to get in on my girl. And, you know, fuck that.
Would you do that? Like, would you
join the military?
Yeah, would you do that?
Hell no. I'd be like, deuces, I hope your plane doesn't get blown up. Spoiler alert.
Like part of me wanted to join the military, you know, because I enjoy structure and
you're a follower. You're not much of a leader.
I'm a sheep, and I want something to fight for. But the only reason I couldn't do it is because I didn't want to fight someone. I knew that I would be put in a situation where I would fight for something that I didn't believe in at one point. And I couldn't do that.
I just didn't want to get shot. Like, I had a recruiter come to my house and everything. And I was like, I could go to college or I could possibly get shot.
Yeah, my mom didn't want me to do it either. She was like, you're the only son.
Look.
And the name dies with you unless you have a child.
Well, here's the thing. The military ain't no... The white man's army ain't no place for a black man. No, I ain't going. Fuck that. Unless I get to be in military intelligence immediately. I ain't getting shot. No, I am not going in the military for any woman ever. Get out of my face. Surely I can serve my country better by doing anything else. So Carl ends up in military intelligence because he's super smart and has, you know, psychic sort of abilities.
This guy really is off-puttingly handsome.
Like, it's slightly, it's like, it's unnerving.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, that is the perfect term for it, too.
Like, he is off-puttingly handsome. Like, you don't look real, dude. Right. And, like, at this point, 1997, I don't think this guy's had any facial surgery.
Right.
Like, that dude came out of the womb looking like that.
Right. Yeah.
That I bet that guy was like, I'm going to be a fucking megastar. Because he has like that Tom Cruise-ish kind of look about him, you know? Like,
yeah.
He should have been.
Very square jawed, like prominent chin. Like, it's very weird.
Yeah. The dude, I'm telling you, the dude was like drawn out of a book. It's fucking weird. So the three of them go to their different branches. Carmen goes to pilot school. Military intelligence for Carl, and then Johnny Rico goes into the infantry because he didn't score well. And the guy who's like signing them up, he's like, oh, you're going into infantry. Great. The infantry has made me the man I am today. And he's got like a robot arm and missing two legs.
That wasn't an effect either. They found a guy. They found a double amputee.
With two legs. Yeah. Is his hand...
His hand is real.
Yeah, okay.
But he doesn't have his legs.
Yeah.
Like, they were like... All right.
Hey, easy to find.
Realistic.
Yeah. See, this movie doesn't fuck around. So the three are like, yeah, as long as we're all together, we promise we'll always be friends. And they're like, yeah, be friends. That sounds like a plan. And they're just like bushy-tailed and bright-eyed. And they're like, yay, the military is going to be so much fun. You have no idea what you're walking into. And so, you know, it's like, oh... The next day, Carl has already left before them, and they all go off on their separate ways. Cut to basically cut to boot camp, where Sergeant Zim is their platoon leader at boot camp. And look, I just like to point out that the eagle that is the symbol is like the Iron Eagle from Nazi Germany. I'm just saying.
I mean, they aren't fucking around, man.
look, I'm just going to slide my computer so you can see this. Look at the bars on Zim's
thing. Instead of double S's, they look like triple S's. Like,
what the fuck, dude? They're supposed to be lightning bolts, but they look like the SS symbol. Like, almost exactly like it. This movie is amazing.
You can't just throw another S on it and just be like, oh, it's different.
Yeah, like, the hell it is. Like, this movie isn't even, it's barely trying. I can't believe, like, I clearly was dumb when I saw this in 97 because, like, it's so fucking obvious. So Zim just is like, man, he is cracking people with that fucking stick.
Zim is played by Clancy Brown, a.k.a. Lex Luthor.
A.k.a. the Kurgan from fucking Highlander. So, one, Clancy Brown is an awesome actor. Like, just in general, he is a fucking badass.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
And he just proceeds to kick so much ass in this movie. And so he's, you know, he's a hard-nosed guy, and he's basically like, if you can't cut it, walk over there to, washout lane and fucking quit. otherwise, you know, get your shit together. Now, keep in mind, you know, in future Nazi Buenos Aires, men and women serve together. So, you know. They progress.
There you go.
No progression for the Nazis.
That's an actual legitimate argument that pro-authoritarian people use. Is that people
really?
Who, yeah, is that people who, like, the gender gap is
bullshit.
Right, because there is, like, you serve, and that's how you prove your worth. Like, if the leader tells you to do something, you all do it because the leader thinks that you are, the leader wants the best of the best no matter what.
Right.
Whereas people who are against it generally are men who think they know better and, you know, like, just stay over there, woman, be my sidekick. I'll take care of it. So there you go. Pro fascism.
Congratulations. So at one point, Sergeant Zim says, I'm a tough son of a bitch, blah, 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 all this. And he goes, so which one of you thinks that you can beat me? Or which one of you thinks you can knock me down? And the big dumb oaf Breckenridge is like, oh, yeah, I think I can. I guess I can, sir. And he comes out there and Clancy Brown proceeds to kick the shit out of him and break his arm on the first day of boot camp. That's not what you would do.
Who volunteers for that?
Yeah, like, me? Snap. And it, like, his bone is, like, poking out of his skin, right? Like, it's fucked up. He just broke that shit. And he's just like, medic! So he proceeds to kick his ass. And then Diz shows up with transfer orders. And she's like, yeah, I'm here to be assigned to this squad. I hear it's the best. And he's like, it is the best. She's like, why should I let you in? And then she just basically squares off with him. And she's like, no, I'm going to fight you. And Clancy Brown proceeds to kick her ass as well. He does not break her arm, but he pretty much choked her out.
Right. He put his knee to her neck to the point where it left a gigantic knee-shaped hickey.
Yeah, because you can see that shit in a later... scene. Again, she looks still pretty hot in this scene. But, you know, she does pretty good in the fight. She fucking does like a spinning backhand kind of thing. And then Clancy Brown does a fucking sweep kick because that's what he does.
He does a Mortal Kombat sweep.
Yeah, I was like, all right, stop fucking around. And apparently Johnny thinks it's slightly funny. she got her ass kicked. Then we see everybody in the chow line. And including Breckenridge, who's got like this cast on him now. And there's a guy who keeps butting in line, played by Jake Busey.
Jake the Chipmunk Busey.
AKA.
Look at those teeth, man. God damn.
AKA Andy from the Flawed.
Oh, God damn.
He you telling me that guy doesn't look like Andy?
Andy doesn't look like a chipmunk.
This fucking guy. Come on, dude. Andy, if you're listening, I'm sorry, bro, but you look like Jake Busey.
Oh, damn.
It's better to look like Jake Busey than Gary Busey.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if that means anything. So Andy and his... Andy,
damn.
I can't wait for that to get back to him. So he's like cutting in line, and he's like, he's the jokester of the group.
Yeah.
Basically. And actually, I like Jake Busey in this role. Like, he's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, you can be my friend, man. Like, it's cool. And his name is Ace, by the way. And he's like, he befriends Johnny Rico, and everybody's like, ah, get in the back of the line, you fucking goofball. And Johnny is starting to feel comfortable, basically.
Yeah.
And Diz goes over to Johnny to talk to him, and he's like, he's pissed because he basically thinks she followed him there because she wants to be with him. And she's like, no, I didn't do that. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
It's pretty goddamn obvious. So then there's a scene of all the people in the shower, all the troops in the shower, and they're basically talking about why they joined up. And it's interesting. Like, it's the whole equality thing. Like, they're all naked taking a shower, men and women, and nobody is, like, trying to, like, cop a feel or fuck around. Like, they're just, they're all just talking like a bunch of dudes would.
Yeah.
Right? So then you get your first look at Diz topless, which ain't bad.
Not bad at all.
No.
Not bad at all.
Fine with it. And so she's like, oh, Johnny joined the military for a girl. And they're like, oh, a girl. And somebody's like, was it you? And she's just like, maybe. I don't know. And doesn't say anything. It wasn't for you.
No, it wasn't. It was for stupid Aerith. So Paul Verhoeven and cinematographer Jost Vacano shot one take of the co-ed shower scene in the nude themselves on a dare from Dina Meyer, the woman who plays Diz.
Okay, all right. Proving that she's clearly the better of the two. like, come on, dude. It's right there. So Johnny tries to send a message to Carmen, a video message, and all of his goofball troop friends are in the video, like slapping their asses and all this other shit. They're being goofballs. So he sends a message like, oh, I love you. You're great, blah, blah, blah. And then they cut to pilot school where the pilot nerds are fucking epic nerds. And they're just like, yay, I'm gonna rush to the ship. It's going to be great. Their lives are so vastly different than what Johnny and his troops are going through.
Nobody respects people that fly planes.
Oh, I do.
In the military, nobody respects. No one respects the Air Force.
They do when they bomb the shit out of something so you don't get shot. But they're the flyboys, right? They make more money than everyone else. Mm-hmm. They tend to be more arrogant. Like,
yeah.
I fly a plane.
They're the wide receivers of the military.
Yeah. Or the quarterbacks.
You know, and it's like, all right, well, here I am. I'm flying this plane. Meanwhile, you know, like, they don't get their hands dirty. They're just, the infantry is the one who's dying all the time. And, you know, they're just big fucking dorks, man. Like, they're just really, really big dorks. And,
yeah, I mean, this scene is, it's hilarious because it's two fucking mega nerds, and they're like, I get to fly a ship today. Blah. Meanwhile, Johnny had his friend's arm broken on day one.
Right. Yeah.
by his sergeant on purpose.
Right. There are no communal showers in the on the ship, I guarantee it.
Not even close. Not even close. Although, I mean, that wouldn't be bad either. Carmen gets to fly she gets to help fly this like big fucking rig, basically like one of the big massive ships in the army. And so this is her first day doing it. So she's really excited about it. And she ends up being saddled with that douchebag from the football game. Although I like to refer to him as Douche Rob Lowe. and so that guy's like, oh no, I purposely sought you out so we could work together. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
He does look like Rob Lowe.
I'm telling you, when I first saw it, I was like, I don't remember Rob Lowe being in this movie. So they take the plane out and or the spaceship out, and like that's the end of their story for right now. Cut back to they're having sort of war games in boot camp, and Johnny and Diz are working together, and because they know each other so well from football, they kick ass, and Johnny gets named squad leader, which he's really excited about. So then, you know, everything is like going pretty hunky-dory in Nazi Germany. And then Rico gets a message from Carmen that says, oh, it's so great here in flight school. I'm going to break up with you. Thanks. And everybody had gathered around to watch his message. And then she ripped his fucking heart out, which was awful. So then there's this, like, immediately after he gets his heart broken, the movie immediately goes dark, like right, yeah, like right then. So they find out that they're going to be working with live ammunition on a training exercise, and so they do, and you know they're using live bullets and everything. And so they run off into this training exercise, and Breckenridge, the guy, the big dumb oaf who gets his arm broken, says like, oh, my helmet's messed up. And Johnny's like, come here, let me take a look at it, because he's a squad leader. And he takes the helmet off. And one of the other troops, the black chick, she falls and makes a mistake and fires her gun. And it strikes Breckenridge right in the fucking head, killing him immediately.
Yeah, this was a big what the fuck?
Yeah. And so, yeah, he fucking died. He got his fucking brains blown out.
I love Paul Verhoeven, like, violence, because, like, they'll show you the guy, and then they'll do some very, very fast editing, but they'll keep it on the guy's head, and then it's just like, hey, huh, what's up, bow, and then you immediately, his head turns into a fake head with blood coming out of it. It's hilarious, man. Note about the ammunition. This movie, more ammunition was used in this film than any previous movie.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
There's a lot of fucking shooting in this movie.
It's a fuck ton. Like, it is a fuck ton of shooting, which is great, because who doesn't like shooting?
There ain't nothing wrong with shooting.
Yeah. So, of course, Rico is found responsible because he's the one who told him to take the helmet off. Breckenridge is dead. The black chick washes out because she feels guilty about killing another guy. So Rico has to go in front of, what's his name?
Hank from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, thank you. and Hank is none too pleased because he's the commanding officer. And so they're like, well, we already lost two troops. You know, the black chick who washed out and Breckenridge. From this whole thing, do you think that we can rehabilitate Johnny Rico? And Clancy Brown is like, yeah, I believe we can. And so they give him 10 lashings. He's got to take those lashings in the public square in front of everybody, and then he would be reinstated.
I don't know who the actor is that is the one administering the lashings. He is a black man.
Yep, I wrote that down.
And when he got the call to say that he was going to be the guy that gets to whip the pretty white guy with a whip for 10 lashes.
Greatest role.
Mean, like, this is the opportunity of a lifetime.
This is Oscar award.
This is Oscar bait right here.
I mean, there's no way that choosing a black man for that role was a mistake.
There's no way
it wasn't.
I 100% agree with you. I 100% agree with you.
I literally wrote down, black guy gets to whip him, in parentheses, good.
as much commentary as is going on in this movie on the sly, like, yeah, this was a complete and utter deliberate choice.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You can't tell me it was just like, oh, a black dude by mistake. Like, He was like, hell yeah.
Like, he's the only, he's like one of two black dudes in the movie.
Yes.
And like, you know what? And look, he probably wasn't even supposed to be black, but Paul Verhoeven was probably like, you we know got, what would be really funny?
In Hitler's dream future, a black dude gets to beat, I mean, look.
Gets to beat the shit out of the prototype.
But the thing is, it is kind of ironic that in Hitler's future, you know, you actually have black people in the military and Latinos in the military alongside white people.
Yeah.
So if we would have just let the Nazis win, in 3,000 years, we would have gotten some racial inclusion. That's not bad. Not bad. Well, it only took 3,000 years. A little slower than we'd like, but, you know, they eventually got there. So then it cuts back to the pilot story and Douche Rob Lowe and Carmen, who is going to be Douche Carmen from now on. Because she turned her back on Johnny. They're basically like all, you know, they're hitting on each other. Things are happening. And then they get this readout that an asteroid is coming towards them. And they just narrowly escape without being obliterated. And that asteroid is, of course, headed towards Earth.
I hate the pilot story.
I do too. I don't like them at all.
Yeah. They're very, very unlikable characters.
Yeah. There's nothing about, like, there's no redeemable moment. I mean, I guess slightly later, but not really.
Not really. Like, that shit is self-preservation. That's not, you know.
Right.
Them being, that's not them being like, hey, let's come together to fight. Like, no.
No, they're pieces of shit. So they find out that the asteroid was from, like, the bug planet, Klondathu. And so this is all edging towards the thing that you saw in the beginning of the movie when they said 1 year earlier. So then after taking his lashes, Johnny's like, you know what? I'm fucking done. I took those 10 lashings. And then the black guy comes in who whipped him and is like, yeah, you can just, you know, you got a communication there, buddy, after I whooped your ass. And it's from Johnny's parents. And he's like, yeah, it's not really working out here. I really want to go home. And they're like, oh, it's great. That's great. Great. Good. We never thought you should be with those riffraff in the military. And then their signal breaks up. And it's like, oh, it's a satellite issue. And he's like, oh, okay. And as he's getting ready to walk down Washout Lane, there's commotion. And everyone's like, the bugs, they attacked, man. They attacked. And so they're like, we're going to war. Oh, my God. It's crazy. There's an outside enemy that we must destroy and give up our personal freedoms. So the asteroid hits Earth in a very 9/11 like attack, killing everyone. And so then Johnny decides that he doesn't want to wash out. He wants to rejoin the military. And they're like, all right, you know, we didn't file your paper, so you're good. Let's fucking do this. And apparently Buenos Aires, there were like 10 million plus people killed. And everyone is really sad. And of course, they show people in the rubble because it's a Paul Verhoeven movie. And they show a dog that's been murdered. And then they cut to a guy and he's like, kill them. Kill them all. Kill all the bugs. I'm like, all right, take it fucking easy. So then the president of the Citizens Federation is like, we are going to attack the planet of Klondathu. And then you see an ad of fresh-faced Neil Patrick Harris talking about how to kill one of these arachnids. And again, he looks really fresh-faced and fucking Doogie Howser-esque here. but they do a good job of slowly changing him over time. Then more ads. And then there's an interesting scene where they're getting ready to go off to war and Johnny runs into Carmen. And Douche Rob Lowe, and he's like, they bait Johnny and Douche Rob Lowe get into a fight, where Douche Rob Lowe kicks the shit out of him, by the way. He literally grabs him and flips him upside down onto a table.
Yeah.
Which is not strength that a human could possess normally of his size. But
after what's his name, sucker punched him, right?
Oh, yeah. And look, I don't even see it as a sucker punch. Look, he said, my rank doesn't matter. All fair in love and war. You're getting your ass knocked the fuck out.
Ain't no such thing as a sucker punch.
pay attention.
Right. Right. Sorry. Sorry.
No.
Fuck out of my face.
You get knocked out, dude.
If I'm going to take any advantage I can.
Yeah. Like, dude, you should have kicked him in the balls.
Yeah.
Like, you made the mistake of punching him in the face where he could recover quickly. Like, you know, if you're gonna sucker somebody, a direct knee to the balls is gonna slow them down considerably.
Yeah, there was no way that guy could have suplexed him like that without Johnny flipping up and, you know, like assisting him in the suplex.
Yeah, it was a wrestling move. Like, now jump so I can rock bottom you. And so they fight. People break it up, and then it's like the infantry and the flight school, they don't get along. It's like the army and the navy. You know, it's kind of that same thing, yeah. Which is funny. Like, you guys all work for the same organization. Everybody's calm down. So
you guys are all fascists.
Don't worry. Everyone's a fascist together. Yes, their uniforms are more fascist looking than yours. But at the end of the day, we can all come together and take out the Jews, I guess. So they all decide, the infantry guys all decide to get tattoos that say death from above, which is ironic.
Which is funny because they're on the ground.
Right.
So
death straight ahead. Yeah, it would have been something the flight people would have gotten. But
right, because they, you know, bomb people. Right. Like, they...
God damn it.
Death from the ground?
Like, death right ahead.
Right. Death... slightly to your left.
Yeah, exactly. It reminds me of that water balloon episode from The Simpsons. We got water balloons. They say, happy birthday. That's fine. I would have preferred them to say death from above, but this will have to do. When The Simpsons was actually funny. So they prepare for war. They get into a drop ship. Shit goes a little left where the ships are all being attacked. And a bunch of people get murdered. Johnny's squad eventually makes it to the ground. Safe and sound. Along with a number of other squads. And they're there. And this is the night of that, basically, that broadcast from the beginning. Yeah. And you see them taking on bugs for the first time. It takes way more bugs, or way more humans to kill, like, one bug, the very first one, than it should. Which doesn't bode well, in my opinion, for... their chances going into the future.
Yeah.
So they all eventually start fighting bugs, and then you see the reporter get torn in half, like in the beginning. They attack these giant bugs that shoot these lasers into the air. They use nukes because they just have those now, which is kind of badass. And
I gotta believe that the Nazis would just have like portable nukes readily.
I mean, they had really good technology, so, you know, 3,000 years into the future, I gotta imagine you could make a small nuke. That'd be kind of nice to have one of those in a war. Just a small one. I love how it's like a small nuke that would do way more damage than it does here. Like, like it would be nuclear fallout, but okay. Unfortunately, Johnny gets fucking jabbed directly through the thigh by one of these arachnids, and so then it fades to black and you think Johnny is dead.
Yeah, he should have died.
Yeah, that wound was pretty fucking significant.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you have a femoral artery in there that you will bleed the fuck out.
Yeah, it's gone. He would have been fucking toast. 100,000 troops died on K-Day, as they called it. So because of that, the person in charge gets replaced by a new person in charge, who is a black woman.
Amanda Waller.
Yeah, no kidding. And then there's like a TV ad where they're like, they think that there might be a brain bug that's controlling all these bugs and telling them what to do. And then Carmen thinks that Johnny is dead because she sees this board that has all these lists of tragedies.
All right, go to... go to about 101, go to about 102 where you see the two talking heads.
102?
Yeah. Or excuse me, 107.57.
Okay.
Where the old lady and the old man and the man are talking and they're like, oh, well, the lady's like, we have to think that there might be a smart bug. And the guy is like, oh, this is ridiculous. A smart bug. I've never heard of this such thing. That's preposterous.
It's offensive.
It's offensive that there could be a smart bug, right? Does she step on that guy's foot?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, shut up. Like,
yeah, because he won't let her speak. And she's just like, God damn it, shut up.
I would love if I have to sit through another debate, I would love if someone would just step on someone else's foot so that they can talk.
Like, shut up. Just shut up. Or I fucking strangle you. Yeah, like, again, nobody has any couth in this movie. Like, they just do what they gotta do. So, cut to Ares and Fake Cloud. They're flying their starship back to dock, and all the other starships are all fucked up because of the war. We find out Johnny is in fact alive. He's in some like recuperation tank where he's getting his leg rebuilt.
Where apparently no one else can use that thing.
Yeah, I guess because he has a hold, so they can just use that.
I mean, all these other people have limbs missing. Is that it? Every single one of them?
Yeah, like their limb is just gone. Huh. So there's nothing to repair, but I guess they can repair the tissue in the middle. And he's also the hero, so.
Yeah.
So he spends like three days in that tank, and then he's out. He's fine. Fucking Aryan Captain America's good. So they join up with a new troop run by the black dude from, that's occupied by the black dude from The Walking Dead and The Wire. And so you find out that it's Ratchek's Roughnecks, which is Ratchek, their teacher from the beginning. So now it's Diz, Rico, and Ace. They're all together and they're like good friends. So they join up, they go down to planet P, and Johnny takes on a fucking giant bug of some kind that can breathe fire.
Not just fire, like acid fire.
Yeah.
Like, because that bug spits on that black chick and her hand is gone.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And this is like pretty goddamn violent.
Yeah, pretty... this movie is like silly unintentionally and then hyper violent, which is to be expected from a Paul Verhoeven movie.
Right.
But, yeah, what's his name? Broke like a rib trying to flip off of that or trying to land on that giant bug. Casper Van Dien.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he broke a rib trying to land on this thing.
That's interesting. It is like acid fire. Good God. So Johnny decided, like, this huge bug that they hadn't seen before comes out and it's breathing this fire or whatever, or shooting this fire. And so Johnny jumps onto the bug, fucking hero style, and just starts shooting the damn thing like crazy. And he ends up opening up a hole in its back. And he just throws a grenade in there like a fucking boss. This is a badass way to kill a thing, by the way. And he throws a grenade in and it, of course, kills it and it explodes. And he's covered in carrot baby food.
And baby vomit.
And so Ratchek's like, you're going to be my new like sergeant or corporal. And
that black chick can't use her arm. You're her replacement now, like, until I find someone better.
Yeah, I mean.
Fucking Nazis, man.
Fucking Nazis, dude. So at that point, they have, like, after they kill the bug, everybody's like, yeah, we're doing pretty good. And Ratchek's like, okay, we're gonna have some fun. Like, we play hard, but we fight hard, but we play hard too. And he's like, here's some beer, and everyone's like, yeah. And he's like, and here's some entertainment, and there's like, oh, it's not girls. Oh, it's a box full of Nerf footballs and a random green violin. How did you know? And of course, Andy's like, ooh, a violin. He's like, ding, 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 ding. I guess more of a fiddle. So everybody's like really happy and they're celebrating, and which is how you know things are going to go bad soon. And Diz comes up to Johnny and she's like, oh, do you want to dance? And he's like, I don't do that. Don't make me pull rank.
Yeah, what the fuck is your problem, dude? God damn it.
Fucking Cloud Strife. She's
throwing it at you, man.
She really is.
Good Lord.
Catch it, for God's sake. Catch it. It's right there. And so then fucking Ratchek is like, hey, here's a bit of advice. Never pass up a good thing. He should have said never pass up a sure thing.
Right. It's like, you should have said, this woman wants to give you some pussy. Let her.
Yeah, like, hello,
big
dummy.
Big dummy.
And so he's like, oh. Well, now So now that Ratchek said it, I guess I'll do it. So then he's like, he basically goes in and hits on her, and she's, you know, he basically says hi. And so she's like, let's get out of here and let's bone. And you know what? Good. Took you long enough.
Yeah. Big dummy.
Yeah.
So you know she got to die.
Yep. That's kind of how that, that's kind of how that works. And it's really funny because, like, how hard was this choice? Like, dude, she is smoking hot. Like, did she ever do anything after this? Dina Meyer? She's still good looking, too.
Did she do anything after this?
Oh, shit. She was Barbara Gordon in Birds of Prey? What the fuck? Are you serious?
The CW show?
Yes. That's fucking hilarious. I did not know that. She's 47. She still looks great.
You know who doesn't look great? Denise Richards.
Nope.
Oh, shit. She was in Saw. That's right. She was in Saw.
Yeah, she was a detective.
Oh, shit, son.
That's funny. She actually has aged very well. She kind of looks like Michelle Pfeiffer if Michelle Pfeiffer didn't get a bunch of fucking facial surgery.
Yeah.
Because Michelle Pfeiffer looks like hell now.
Yeah.
But she kind of looks like what Michelle Pfeiffer would have looked like if she had aged, like, normally.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, she's actually rather good looking. So Ratchek comes in and he's like, Johnny, we're moving out. The bugs are coming or something. Like, we've got to go on this thing. And he's like, who's in there with you? And so she's like, oh, it's me, sir. And he's like, at first he says, we got to leave in 10. And he goes, make it 20. Like, that guy was looking out for you.
Yeah,
he's like trying to help you get laid.
And then she was like, 20 minutes? And dude, the finally, he's like, oh, we can do it. We can do it in 20 minutes.
We can do it twice.
Right. Let's stop fucking around.
Yeah, stop talking. Let's get to work. That's fucking hilarious. It's like the most realistic fucking part of this entire movie. He was
right. 10 minutes. Oh, we're gonna make something happen in 20 minutes.
Trust me. 20 minutes. Yeah. No problem. You may be able to do it 4 times, okay? If he's that kind of guy. So then they go out, like, it cut to the next day. They go out on another patrol. And then there's these new bugs, these flying bugs, that apparently will just sweep down and grab your ass up and kill you. And it does. And it grabs one of the troops up and takes him off. And basically, Ratchek is like, give me that sniper rifle. And he just shoots the guy in the chest so that he doesn't have to suffer. You know what? Frankly, it's a better thing to do. I'd rather be shot than be torn apart by some fucking man-eating bug.
Yeah, than have my brain sucked out of my head.
Yeah, fuck that noise.
Screw all that, man.
So then they come to an outpost. That outpost has, they're looking around and there's a bunch of murdered people. And I think this is Outpost 9 or something like that. And there's just dead bugs and dead people fucking everywhere.
Dude, these people look like Halo Marines. Like, every time I see them,
I really do.
I think of the Halo Marines.
I mean, the design isn't that different.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
It's just funny to me, that's all.
Yeah. The person who does Verhoeven's, like, dead bodies and stuff like that does a really good job.
Yeah, because they're gross.
Yeah, they're fucking disgusting.
Like, they're really, really, really gross.
Yep. So they're trying to get communication up in the base. They get people up on these guns, and they eventually find out that they make this really grisly discovery, which we have the clip for that. So here you go.
What does that look like to you, Rico?
Looks like a bug was in his brain, sir.
They sucked his brains out.
There's just something about that line that just fucking makes me laugh.
They sucked his brains out.
Oh, you know, Michael Ironside, this very, very, like, stoic actor.
Probably a thespian actor, actually.
Right. He's a method actor. He's just like, they sucked his brains out.
Like, you how did you say that? How do you even say that line with any level of seriousness?
Oh, shit, man.
So they're tooling around the base, like, looking at stuff, and they actually find this general. And he's, like, kooky as hell, and he's like, I had to preserve myself, you know, and all this other stuff. And he's crazy, and he's like, thank you. You're all going to get a basically, you're all going to be rewarded for finding me and saving me and all this other stuff. Michael Ironside's like, man, if you don't get the fuck out of my face with that bullshit, we're just doing our job. And so then the general has some interesting words, so we have that clip as well.
Look, they did it to Farley. They got in his mind. They make you do things. They made Farley call headquarters.
The distress call was a trap.
They're just like us. They want to know what makes us tick. They want to know us so they can kill us.
Roughnecks, this is Lee. Prepare for attack. I repeat, we're going to be attacked.
Where's the retrieval boat?
Mayday, mayday. This is Roughneck 20 to battle group. Do you read?
Oh, God! We're going to die! Don't you understand? We're all going to die!
Shut up, liberal.
Second squad! Control yourself, General.
I can't! I wish you'd just shoot me.
He's
just a little out of his mind, sir.
Like, what?
All the more reason for me to shoot him.
But again, like that general, he's a wuss, right? He's a liberal. So you had to fucking punch him. So they're like, oh shit, there's bugs everywhere. And then you look over the top of the base, and it's thousands of these things, which apparently takes, I don't know, 500 shots to take out one. And there's just no way they're going to defeat these guys. And so there are bugs everywhere. I don't know whether or not I would shit my pants or piss my pants, probably both. I have to imagine.
If I saw all these bugs...
No, it's game over.
Yeah, man.
It's game over, dude. Hey, what are you gonna make it?
What are you doing?
I'd be like, somebody just shoot me in the chest, dude.
Right.
So put a bullet in my chest. Like, let's get it over with. I don't want to be thrown into a pack of these horrible things that are gonna rip me to fucking shreds.
Yeah,
fuck that.
I don't wanna jump away and be impaled by a bug as I'm jumping.
Which is one of the most fucked up ways the guy dies. And so they're fighting this swarm of bugs off. Then some of those flying bugs come and they just start cutting people's fucking heads off. Just like the most horrible fucking deaths. I mean, it literally just slices a dude's head clean the fuck off.
This movie is so wonderful.
It's amazingly violent. Amazingly violent. So they do that. And so they realize that they have to kill as many of these things before they overrun the base. And, of course, one of the flying bugs gets taken down and falls on the general and kills him. And Ace is just like, yeah, it's kind of funny. And he, like, laughs. And they go back to killing people or killing these bugs. So then they call for backup. They basically call for a pickup. The pickup eventually shows up. And Diz ends up killing one of those fire breathing bugs by throwing a grenade right in its mouth. And she's like celebrating. They're getting ready to get on the ship. And she just gets fucking stabbed two times. And then another two times, in the chest. And she gets like thrown around a little bit, and she's fucked.
Yeah, you're dead, Liddy.
Yeah, you're toast.
God damn it.
Oh, before that,
why couldn't you be Denise Richards?
Yeah, I know. That's what I felt the entire time. I was like, kill Denise Richards. Crack check, by the way, before this, he gets murdered because there's that big fire breathing bug comes from underneath the ground and starts basically ripping his legs off, and he yells at Johnny to shoot him in the chest to just kill him, and Johnny does. Which, you know what? You can totally respect that. So they eventually get on the plane. The rescue plane is flown by Douche Rob Lowe and Douche Carmen. And Douche Rob Lowe is like, just want to let you know, Johnny's back there. He is alive. And she's like, oh, okay.
Great. I hate Denise Richards. I hate her and everything. She's so
fucking awful, dude.
So goddamn terrible.
She's a terrible actress.
I mean, good Lord, man.
Look, don't get me wrong. She's attractive. But that's not enough for
attractive.
Yeah, all right. But like, she sucks. Like, she sucks in movies, man. Who's worse, her or Liv Tyler? They're both pretty fucking bad.
They're both pretty bland. I think Liv Tyler is more bland, but I think Denise Richards is a worse actress.
All right, I'd agree with that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. God, they're awful. Both of them, the worst. So they rescue them, and Johnny's like, yeah, I need you to call. I need you to call and get a medic or whatever. Or call and like tell them to bomb the planet, basically. And she's like, oh, it's good to see you. And he's like, I need you to call and bomb the fucking planet. Like, I don't get time to be dealing with your bullshit. So then cut to Diz's funeral because they actually make it back onto the ship, but she dies before they make it back. And
just like a Viking funeral. Like, they shoot her out the airlock.
Yeah. I mean, like a Nazi would. Vikings, Nazis.
God, why do I feel bad for this woman's death? She's a Nazi.
She's a fucking Nazi. But at that point, everyone's a Nazi. Everyone on Earth is a Nazi.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Nazis literally took over the earth. That's what happened. you know, Johnny gives the sort of the eulogy of Diz's Nazi death, and they put her in this capsule and fire out into space, much like Spock when he died. And so then we get Carl comes up to them afterwards.
Neil Patrick Harris looks like he's wearing a Nazi uniform that he got from Party City.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So that's fucking funny. So let me play a clip of that interaction between Carl, Carmen, and Johnny Rico.
How are you, Carl?
Carmen, good. Johnny, I'm sorry it had to be your unit on P.
By the way, I love how dark his eyes are now. Like, Neil Patrick Harris looks like he has seen some shit. Like, his character is a different man than
even
when he started.
Even his demeanor has changed.
Like, yeah, he's much more serious.
Yeah, he was goofy at first, and now he's just like, none of that shit. Like, he looks like he has thrown some Jews in an oven, and that shit has scarred him.
Yeah.
It has hardened him.
Yeah, well, he doesn't seem like he wants to stop. So here's Nazi Neil Patrick Harris.
Mission had a very low survival probability.
The bugs laid a trap for us, didn't they?
Elegant proof of intelligence, isn't it? We thought there might be a brain bug on P.
You knew and you sent them anyway?
We couldn't afford to launch an operation if there wasn't one. You don't approve? Well, too bad. We're in this for the species, boys and girls. It's simple numbers. They have more. And every day, I have to make decisions that send hundreds of people like you to their deaths.
Didn't they tell you, Colonel? That's what the mobile infantry's good for.
I hope you're ready for more. We're going back to P to capture that brain.
The Roughnecks are always ready, sir.
I hear they need a new lieutenant. Want the job?
I'll take it.
Till I get killed or you find someone better.
We're going back to pee to finish the job. We're going back to pee. Just made me smile.
You fucking child. So yeah, so they head back to this planet, and so they get there, and Johnny and Ace are the older kids. Like, it's so funny because he's like, they look like kids, and I'm like, these are clearly kids. Like, some of them look like they're 15 years old.
Yeah, they don't look like the 30-year-old high school students that we saw at the beginning.
No.
Of the movie.
Like, I'm looking at this girl. She can't be more than 16 years old in real life. This one kid's like, I'm ready to be a trooper. Like, this kid looks like he's 13. Look at that kid, dude.
What people don't know is that this is actually Ender from Ender's Game.
Yes. That's how it all gets started. Like, if you're watching this movie, basically at, I don't know, what is this, like 140, 141, 45? Like, yeah, this kid looks like a literal kid. It's hilarious. I guess that's how you make them look older, even though they are the same age. They're clearly the same. They look exactly the same since the beginning. So he's like, all right, settle up. We're going into this shit. You don't want to live forever. And basically, by the way, he parrots what Kretchek said, and they're like, now it's Rico's Roughnecks instead of Ratchek's Roughnecks.
Yeah.
Oh, how convenient that your name starts with an R.
Right.
So the war has begun on P, and spaceships are getting blown apart, which is great. Carmen is on one of those ships. Unfortunately, she does not die. Her and douche Rob Lowe, they escape in a little escape pod. But they end up on the planet inside of a cave where the bugs take them and hold them, but don't kill them right away. So Johnny and some of his troops go to find the brain bug. But then Johnny gets this sort of thought in his head, like, go find Carmen. She's still alive. And he's like, I don't know why I think she's still alive, but I just know it. Bad move, man. So it's like, I just need a couple of volunteers, two volunteers, Ace and two volunteers to go find Carmen. And then you come to find out that the brain bug shows up, which is disgusting looking. And
yeah, it is legitimately like
gross. Now this is CGI, but this is damn good.
Is this CGI? Is it all CGI?
I don't think it's all CGI.
Like, some of that, like, stuff with the close up of the tentacle, I don't think that's CGI. I think that's very practical.
But like the skin, like, and stuff.
Yeah, like going in, like the thing going into the brain, of course, is obviously CGI.
Yeah.
But it looks good, man. Like, this movie surprisingly still really holds up.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Well, because it uses CGI like it's supposed to be, like, for
shit you just cannot do.
Right, like, just effect, yeah. And not, you know, the movie doesn't rely on it.
Right. So the brain bug has this, like, tentacle that comes out, stabs douche Rob Lowe in the head, and starts literally sucking his brains out.
Because that's how you know what your enemy is thinking.
It's just to eat its brains.
By sucking its brain out.
And so they're like, Denise Richards, you're next, sweetheart. And luckily, douche Rob Lowe gave her a knife, and so she cuts off the tentacle, and it, like, freaks out. And when it, like, freaks out and, like, jumps up, that's where you can tell it's CGI.
Yeah.
But it still looks good. It actually doesn't look bad at all. And so it's freaking out. And then here comes fucking Johnny Rico, and he's got a goddamn nuke in his hand. And he's like, yeah, threatening the bugs. Like, I'll kill this brain bug and all of you if you don't basically let her go. And so they get Denise Richards' character out. And while they're doing that, a black dude from The Wire gets attacked, and he goes down. He's sort of mortally wounded.
Because of course he does.
Couldn't possibly have made it out.
God damn it. Why do you volunteer for shit like that?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Like, hey,
out of my face.
Like, you guys want to volunteer? Like, no. Hell no, I ain't doing that. Are you crazy? And so as they're trying to get out, he gets wounded and he's like, I'll set off the nuke, basically. He Miles Dysons it.
Yeah.
That's yeah. what he fucking Miles Dysons it. And so he stays behind. He detonates the nuke. It kills a bunch of bugs, but the brain bug escapes. But none to worry because the brain bug is captured by one of the privates who happens to be Private Zim, Clancy Brown from the beginning, because he was told that if he wanted to fight, he was going to have to bust himself down to a private in order to get into the war. So he clearly wanted to fight. So that's what he did.
Yeah, it's not a smart move, guys.
No, I wouldn't have done that.
I wouldn't have done all that.
So the Nazis show up. I mean, military intelligence.
He looks like a Nazi Dr. Horrible.
Well, God, the like spit coming from this thing is so gross.
Yeah, it's gross, man.
But these guys literally look like Nazis right here. Like, the military intelligence folks, they are wearing Nazi garb. Like, they legit are. And so he touches the thing, and it's like, it feels afraid. Oh my
Hooray!
God. Hooray. Also, you come to find out that Carl planted the idea that Carmen was still alive in Rico's head, so that he would go and find her and help with the bug. So yeah, they're the three friends are all together again, and they're all grizzled as fuck, and they have seen some shit. So hooray for that. Lastly, there's an interaction between Zim and Rico, and he's like, yeah, you did good, you know. He's like, thank you, sir, you know. And basically, then it cuts to like a commercial. More, you know, propaganda. And so I have that because this is so goddamn good. It's perfect propaganda. So here it is.
We have the ships. We have the weapons. We need soldiers. Soldiers like Lieutenant Stack Lumbreezer.
We're in the target area now, Captain.
And Captain Carmen Abanez.
This is the captain speaking. All personnel prepare for drop.
Soldiers like Private Ace Levy and Lieutenant John Rico.
Come on, you ain't! You want to live forever!
We need you all. Service, guarantees, citizenship.
I just fucking love that. Come on, you apes, you want to live forever. Fuck yeah, like, hell yeah. How did this movie not get a sequel, dude? It should have. I mean, it should have gotten a legit sequel.
Yeah.
There's talk of redoing it.
DVD shit. No, you can only redo it. You can only redo it if you, like, go balls to the wall.
It's got to be hard R, dude.
With your propaganda.
Yeah.
You, like, it has to pull no punches and be I kind of want it to be, like, mocking. More mocking.
Oh, yeah. Like it needs to be, like, Donald Trump's future.
Yeah, like they're playing this straight for the most part, where you kind of side with the Nazis.
Right.
But I want this movie to be redone where the Nazis are still the main characters and you see some of the bad shit, and then like some parts of it you feel for them and other parts, but the movie still reminds you more, you know,
that they're Nazis.
That they're Nazis.
Like that you maybe somehow feel sympathetic to the bugs, you think?
Yeah, like maybe make the bug, like if you make the bugs different people, like an
alien race,
like an alien race, but they're humanoid.
Yeah.
Then yeah.
Then it would really work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I want to see, man. And then those humanoid races have like those weird squiggly sideburns and their hair just kind of looks like a yarmulke. Like, that's what I want.
You really want to just throw it right in the face of Nazism.
I just want it to be right in the face, man. Because no one, look, we were kids when this came out. We didn't get it.
No.
And we didn't really get it until, you know.
Today.
Right. So, I want, that's what I want, man. Like, I want to see, the infantry be like, you know, the Jufro Jews, right?
Yeah.
Like the regular old Jewish people. And then I want like the scientists to be like the Orthodox Jews, right? Complete with like it would be like a person, the leader, right? And then he would have like his assistant, which who would be his wife, right? Or vice versa, right? And then all their like interns would be their kids, and there would be like eight of them because that's what they do. They just fuck and fuck and fuck and fuck and fuck.
Did they own a station wagon or no?
I mean, look, the ships could look like a station wagon as far as I'm concerned. Like, let's just stop just fucking around.
Just go for it.
Just go for it, man.
That's fucking hilarious. You know what? I accept that. I'm totally fine with it. That's funny. All right, that is it for Starship Troopers. If you have not seen this movie, you are doing yourself a major disservice. If you haven't seen this movie in a while, go back and watch it. It's still pretty great.
Yep.
All right, that's it for us. Thank you for signing up for premium content. We appreciate it. Obviously, you can catch new episodes of Look Forward, our political show, as well as our this show once a month, The Men with the Golden Tongues, which is our James Bond podcast, which will soon have its second episode out.
Yeah.
Much more. There's a fucking shit ton of stuff, man. Airing of Grievances, of course, is the shit between Mike and I, where we talk about crazy stories about Seinfeld and our own personal life. So if you've never heard of that at this point, you're insane. So go back and listen to those as well. And tell people about it. That's really the most important thing. You know, it's $5 a month, $50 for the year. So we appreciate everybody who sign up and everybody who tells people about it. Keep doing that. All right, guys. We will see you later.
See you.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.